Lord, we're so grateful for your goodness, your blessings on us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have together in your name. Lord, we acknowledge that you are here in our midst, and we love you. We worship you, Lord. And Lord, we just open our hearts to hear from you, that you would speak into our lives. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would take the truths of your word, write them on our hearts, Lord, that we might live it out in our life and bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a series called The Beatitudes. It is, of course, from Matthew chapter 5 and what we commonly call the Beatitudes and part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to just remind you that these principles are principles of the kingdom. They are how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to be. And Jesus said, if we're like this, then we're going to be blessed. We're going to read beginning from verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5. We'll get through verse 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, with each and every one of these messages so far, it is certainly a contrast to the world's way of thinking. I just, you know, we'll just make this real simple. The world would never say it's a good thing to be hungry or thirsty. But Jesus said that we're blessed if we're hungry and thirsty. We're supposed to be hungry and thirsty if we want to be blessed. We need to understand what Jesus is talking about when he says righteousness. When he says righteousness, he is not talking about being super religious. And he's not talking about, you know, thinking that we're better than everybody else. That's not at all what he's talking about. But he is talking about being in that place where you are right with God. I want you to understand something, though. We need to get the full picture of righteousness and what it means to be righteous. It is, as many have said, it is having a right standing with God. But you need to understand that when we become righteous by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nature changes. We all understand that everybody born in Adam's race has a sin nature. But you also need to know that as a born-again Christian, by faith, you become righteous and you have a righteous nature. Now, that may be something that you have to accept and walk and live by faith. Guess what? The righteous live by faith. And so you need to know that being righteous is not just, you know, well, I'm forgiven and, you know, God has put his label of righteousness on me. It means that he's actually changed you. Something very real. Righteous. It is being close to God. You can't be really close to a holy, righteous God without being righteous. It is being close to God. It is being totally free from past sins and failures. It is being totally free from guilt and condemnation. It is being able to walk right into the throne room of God and talk to him. It is being free from sin, that it no longer has a hold on you. And I'm not going to take that. There's so much scripture on that covers this subject. We just can't get into all of it tonight. But Romans chapter 6 tells us we're no longer slaves to sin. Now, some of you thinking, what do you mean? I'm still... No, by faith, we're no longer slaves to sin. We have become the slaves of righteousness. What an awesome thing. Changed. That's a new nature. But it is to be in a position to be able to receive every blessing that God has for you. It's to know for certain that there's nothing between you and God, that He looks at you as though you had done everything right in your life. Are you hungry for that? Do you desire that? Now, I know some of you, you're thinking, well, yeah, Pastor, I've already got that, so no, I'm not hungry for it because I've already got all that. Well, you just stay here and listen, because I can assure you there's something here for all of us. But He didn't tell us that the righteous are blessed, although there are lots of scripture that tell us the righteous are blessed. I mean, there's so many promises. The Bible just specifically declares for the righteous, and all of those belong to us when we're righteous. But He's talking about, listen, being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Not just being righteous. He's talking about there's a blessing for those that hunger and thirst. He didn't tell us that those that try really hard, you know, there's some people that take this verse and they interpret it that way. That He's just telling us that we should try really hard to be good. But that's not what He's talking about. In fact, I want to read to you from Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 26. It's a little lengthy, but it just really puts this in a clearer light. Romans 3, 19 through 26, it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." They certainly are, all of us. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed." Now, He's talking about a righteousness apart from the law. He's talking about a righteousness apart from doing everything right. "Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." It is by our faith in Jesus Christ that we've been justified, that we have been made righteous. And we need to know that. Now, this, when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," listen, He certainly had the knowledge of the truth that He was going to die on the cross and that we would be made righteous by His act of righteousness. He certainly knew that and understood that. But we need to get to this part of what He's talking about of being hungry and being thirsty. You know, most of us don't really know what it means to be hungry. Oh, I know you think you do. I'm hungry all the time. I go to the refrigerator and I open the door and I stand there and I look. I'm hungry. See, there's some cheese. There's some Claussen and pickles. There's some green beans. No, I don't want that. And I shut the door. Go look in the pantry. I can't find anything I want. I'm hungry. That's not hungry. Most of us don't really know what it is to be really hungry. Well, I was hungry and dinner, you know, it's ready at 5 o'clock and it wasn't ready till Sunday, till 7. I was so hungry. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about that kind of hunger where you don't just want something, but you need it. Something deep down, something much more than just a casual desire. Jeremiah 2:13, the Bible says, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And I just want to tell you, the time we live in, people seek satisfaction and happiness in all kinds of ways, in entertainment, education, sports, hobbies, all kinds of pleasures and thrills, relationships, drugs, alcohol, sex. Now, some of those might be sinful things and some of those might be good things even, but I'm just telling you that people look to all kinds of things to try to satisfy. And there's even the Christian versions, all kinds of Christian entertainment, all kinds of, well, even seeking a sign. You know, I think some spiritual people would think seeking a sign is a good thing if Jesus hadn't specifically rebuked people for seeking a sign. People seek after all kinds of things, seeking greater knowledge, greater recognition, greater religion. But none of that is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm telling you, all of it leaves a dissatisfaction. Those that are satisfied, those that are filled, are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, the people that Jesus spoke this to certainly knew of the righteousness of the Pharisees. They knew about these guys who at least pretended to be great law keepers and acted real religious and had all their rules that they followed. But Jesus also, in this same sermon, said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll in no way enter the kingdom." And you see, we have to understand that the righteousness that we are hungry, that we're thirsty for, is something more than just religion. It's something more than just rules. No, you know, you can preach against this and preach against that, and I'm not just talking about preachers, by the way. I'm talking about all of us. We can tell people you need to stop doing that and you should be doing this. And do you know none of that will ever make anybody righteous? Love is a much better motivator than the law. It is by God's grace and a relationship with Him that we, by faith, receive the gift of righteousness that changes us, that changes everything. Romans 5:20 and 21, it says, "The law was added so that the trespass might increase." See, the law reveals our sin, whether it's the written law of God or the law that's written on every man's heart. Then he goes on and he says, "But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God's supply of grace is abundant. You can't exhaust His grace. And where sin abounds, there's even more grace. That covers whatever you've done. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, I want to tell you, it certainly implies the desire to do right and to be right. I want you to hear me now. You see, as a Christian, we are righteous by faith. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, yes, you want to be close to God. You also want to live for God. As Paul says, if grace increases, shall I continue in sin? God forbid. And I just want you to understand that, yes, it is being right with God, but it also is us desiring to glorify God in the way that we live, that we hunger for that, we desire that, that we, listen, anybody that's been bound by sin. Jesus says if you sin, then sin is your master. Anybody that's been bound by sin, oh, they hunger, they thirst to be free. We all need that. We all want that. We hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Listen, what I'm saying is that there's a danger for us as New Testament believers who we say, but I know I've already received all that. I'm already full. Here's the danger. That we no longer, we get to the place where we're content and we no longer desire to be close to Him. And we no longer want to press in. That we no longer want to become more like Him. That we just get content with where we are. And I want you to understand, you see, that's why it's important to have that hunger, to have that thirst. Let me tell you, people that no longer have a real desire for righteousness, they end up lukewarm, saying, I have need of nothing. Jesus says, You think you're rich. You think you've got it all. You don't know that you're poor, blind, and naked. We got to keep that hunger for righteousness. When we do, oh, we're going to be filled. But you see, so often when people begin to lose that hunger, they start looking and to satisfy with other things. I think it is one of the key problems in the body of Christ in America today. There are so many things out there that the world will distract you with and offer to you to try to pull you away from a closeness with God. So many things that can never satisfy but dull the hunger, the thirst for God. That's the danger of complacency, that we no longer hunger and thirst for that closeness and relationship with Him. All of us have experienced guilt. All of us have known the weight of condemnation. All of us have desired for that burden to be lifted. That blessing that Jesus is talking about, He says, they'll be satisfied or they'll be filled. He's talking about that being gone. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The blessing is that our sins are forgiven, that the guilt is gone, that the throne room of heaven is open to us. We've all known personal weakness. We've all experienced areas of our life where we struggle. But when we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, there's a grace that can put us over, that can cause us to live beyond those weaknesses, that we can overcome it. When we're weak, see, because His grace is sufficient, the Scripture says then we're strong. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, He gives us that grace to overcome. What a blessing. I want to encourage you to keep your hunger. Keep your thirst. Well, don't ever get to the place where you just say, oh, but I've already got all that. No, we got to keep that hunger, keep our thirst, and keep pressing on. Keep desiring more of Him. I want to remind you that Jesus also said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, we're always supposed to be seeking that righteousness, desiring to be close to Him. It's never supposed to be where, well, I came to Jesus and He satisfied my thirst and once and done. That's not in the Bible, but a lot of people have tried to handle it that way. You know, it kind of fits in with the way we like things in America, you know, stick it in the microwave, punch the buttons, it's done. And we want everything in our spiritual life to be that way, but it doesn't work that way. You don't come to Jesus one time and, well, you're satisfied for life. See, a lot of people walk away disillusioned because they got that impression. No, we come to Jesus and we're forever satisfied because we stay with Jesus. He's the source of life. He's the only one that can satisfy. So you keep your hunger. You keep your thirst. You can't just walk away. No, we have to always love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want to always desire that right standing with God, just to be close to Him, just to walk and talk with Him. If you're truly hungry for righteousness, it'll show in your life. You see, we're not righteous because of what we've done. We're righteous because of what He's done. But when you are righteous, it shows in the way you live your life. So you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Oh, how we need to keep that hunger, that thirst for Him, to stay hungry, stay thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with His righteousness. What a blessing to be close to Him. I want you to know the enemy of your soul will always try to convince you that you're not righteous. He will always try to take that away. In fact, we all know this. In our culture, you can't say you're righteous. You go to your workplace, you go to the school, you go out into the marketplace, and you just tell somebody, I'm righteous. They will call you a religious nut, if not to your face, behind your back. And it is that, you see, that cloud of over saying that you're righteous. You know why? You're not righteous. Nobody can be righteous. Well, that's right. That's what the Bible says. Except by faith in Jesus Christ. Because He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. our faith has to be in Him. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." You realize that even in the Old Testament, the way that people were righteous was by faith. Nobody was righteous by the works of the law. But Abraham was righteous because he believed God. And here, the Lord tells us that even then he was saying it. Their righteousness is of me. And I just want to remind you that whenever you're being attacked, whenever you feel beat up, whenever the accuser comes against you, you need to remember that your righteousness is of the Lord. It's from the Lord. What about when we sin and we mess up? I'm so glad that the Bible addresses that, because we do. 1 John 1:9, and I want to read all the way through 2:2. It's just good. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins." He's the payment for our sins. "And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." He's already paid the price. We just have to confess our sins. We have to admit it to Him. And you know what? You say, "Well, I don't know if I've got a sin that I committed and I didn't know I did." I can assure you, you do. You got lots of them. We miss the mark a lot when we don't know it. But He's talking about when you know. You see, when there's guilt there and you know that you've done wrong, confess it to God. And what does He do? He says He is faithful and just to forgive us. But listen, that's not all He said. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Be forgiven. But to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the unrighteousness is gone. It's not just that He forgives us, but the unrighteousness is gone. He cleanses it away. And when you've been cleansed, then you're righteous. I just want to remind you of a few of the blessings of the righteous. Psalms 5:12. "You, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Psalm 34:19. Anybody know that one? "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Psalm 37:25, "I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous nor forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Psalm 37:29, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." Proverbs 20:7, "The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." One last one, Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." Jesus said, "If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're blessed because you're going to be filled." And how blessed it is to know that you're righteous. But keep the hunger. Keep that desire. Treasure being close to God, being right with God. I tell you, we get to the place where we no longer hunger, we no longer want that, we no longer desire it. We're in a very dangerous place. You're blessed when you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You that Your word always brings instruction. It brings correction where we need it. Help us, Lord, to stay in that place where we are always longing for you, always seeking you, always desiring, Lord, to live for you. And Father, I just pray that in this body of believers there would be such a freedom, such a joy, such a victory in knowing that you're right there. You're not far away. That you're there for us, Lord. And that we can walk with you and be close to you. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you use us, Lord, in this world, Lord, to reach out, to share, Lord, to minister to others, to help others along the way. Lord, that others would know the joy and the victory that we have. And Father, I just give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, I love you. Lord bless you. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. You're dismissed.